On this podcast, shake ups at Volkswagen and Porsche. Is the Aria FXE a rebodied C8? Citroen wanting a slice of the Audi BMW China pie? How much would you pay for a racetrack in your backyard? And a fellow YouTuber getting royally shafted by a copyright trademark troll, in my opinion. Hi, I'm Mario, and this is Gear Vlogs in the News podcast, where I bring you stories on all things automotive related. Let's get right into the stories. First up, we have Volkswagen Porsche get new brand bosses, report suggests. German media claims Porsche's CEO and will head Volkswagen Skoda boss will take over at Porsche. Move on down. Read a little bit of this article here. The Volkswagen Group will shuffle its brand management by appointing new heads of Volkswagen, Porsche, and Skoda, German media is reporting, citing resources close to the company. Auto Motor und Sport claims current Porsche CEO Oliver Blume will become the Volkswagen brand boss, with Skoda boss Bernard Mueller or Meyer filling Blume's vacancy at Porsche. Herbert Dice will retain control of overall Volkswagen Group operations, but hands day-to-day management of the Volkswagen brand to Blume, who has been the CEO of Porsche since 2015. The publication claims that Blume is being brought in to deal with significant problems facing two of Volkswagen's most recent, important, and new models, the Mark 8 Golf and the ID.3 electric hatchback. Both cars have reportedly been plagued by software issues, which has delayed production and led to belated market introductions. Blume already serves on the Volkswagen Group Board of Management as the head of production. Meyer, who is rumored to be in line to replace him, served as head of marketing at Porsche before moving to head up Skoda in 2015. The change follows on from a reshuffle last week in which Volkswagen Chief Technology Officer Mattis Raabe moved to Bentley to become an engineering boss. He replaced Weiner Tides, who moved to seat of the head research and development. Links to this article and all the others in this story today will be listed in the video description, so, or podcast description as well, so you can follow along. If you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do so, where you can see some of the added video and imageries that you can see on the video if you're just listening to this on the audio podcast from many outlets of Apple iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Anchor FM, to name a few. Okay, let's move on to our next story. This photo fooled some Corvette fans into thinking it's a modified C8. There's a photo that's been running around on the internet of a 2020 Corvette Stingray that has been modified. But in this particular case, it's not. What it is a company called, or a model of a vehicle called, Aria FXE, unveiled in late 2017 as America's first true hypercar. As far as we can tell, the vehicle has yet to hit production lines, but from the side, it does share obvious resemblances to the C8 Corvette, hence confusion. For starters, the FXE has similar overall proportions to the Corvette and virtual identical front and rear overhangs. Additionally, the wheelbase seems quite similar to the FXE, also has an angular side air intakes that split in half when the doors are open, much like the Corvette. Looks a little closer, however, and the differences become immediately apparent. For example, the shape of the doors are radically different as those of the FXE, and further, forward and include part of the front wheel arch. The shape of the side windows is also quite different, as those are Aria FXE are slimmer. The outline of the smaller roof scoop on the FXE is visible in this profile shot that you would have to check out our blog post and or YouTube video to see these examples. While the C8 doesn't look quite as striking as the Aria, it is a relatively affordable supercar, whereas the 1150 FXE belongs in a totally different niche with a starting price of over $1 million and limited to 400 units. Comparing these two, yeah, they definitely have similar looks, but definitely check out our blog or the video version of this podcast to see it for yourself. Next story up. Citroën is once again going after Audi and BMW, this time with a new flagship sedan for China. Citroën will take yet another swing at the podium segment with a new four-door model aimed at the Chinese car market. It's expected to launch before the end of the next year, likely as a successor of the second-gen C6, which has been around since late 2016 in the People's Republic. So why limit it to China and not launch globally? The sedans still outsell SUVs in the People's Republic. As for the basic of a model, Autocar reports that it will be based on a EMP2 platform, which will tie it to the Peugeot 508 and the new DS9. In terms of power, it's expected with regular combustion engines and a plug-in hybrid that will give it zero emission driving range of around 40 miles. A full-blown electric version has been ruled out for launch, even if the architecture could support such a powertrain, but could be added at some point given China's appetite for EVs. More importantly, though, it will have a magic carpet ride made possible by a progressive hydraulic cushion suspension setup. The design of the vehicle is said to be in the process of being finalized, as it needs to be adapted to local market, where the look and of the front end of the vehicle must deliver the right status, presence, reassurances that you made the right choice, according to the French firm CEO Vincent Kobe. Interesting there looking car. And now for a sponsor message. Someone paid $3.25 million this week for a car enthusiast dream villa overlooking a racetrack. California is home to some of the most expensive real estate in the United States, and found within the Coachella Valley Desert is a mecca for wealthy car enthusiasts known as Thermal Club. Thermal Club started out as a bold idea back in 2011 and is now an expansive 420-acre property that has four racetracks and sites for no less than 268 homes. During the week, one of those homes overlooks the circuit, was sold for $3.25 million, the Los Angeles Times reports. The California house in question offers up a truly massive 12,317 square feet or 1,144 square meters of space and includes a two-story car vault with enough room to store 40 cars. Wow. What more, it includes two full-size vehicle lifts so owners can work on their cars after thrashing them around the track. Decks on the property overlook the 1.2-mile North Palm circuit with 10 turns. If that wasn't enough, the house has 5 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, a 1,000-square-foot great room, and an expensive gym. Thermal Club members, or Thermal Club is a membership-only, meaning you need to own property to gain access to the racetrack and other facilities unless a special event is held there. For example, Michelin held a tire launches at Thermal Club in the past. Houses within the car community typically range from 6,000 to 9,000 square feet. And according to the general manager, John Rogers, there is one member that keeps no less than 87 vehicles on site. For an added fee, property owners can pay staffers to keep their houses clean, check on their cars, and supply groceries. They say money can't buy happiness, but it certainly buys car-filled freedom. Great. Yeah, definitely check out the blog posting and links for these articles so you can check them out. Now on to our last story of the day. Recently, a fellow YouTuber, Chris from B is for Build, has ran into some legal troubles. If you haven't noticed, but here's the article. YouTuber tried to build an Eleanor-inspired Mustang, reportedly lost the car in the legal battle. Yeah, talk about legal battle. He royally got shafted. The Eleanor Mustang from the Gone in 60 Seconds, one of the most iconic movie cars and replicas, pop up from time to time. Given the popularity of the car, it's probably not a surprise that replicas face a number of legal issues. The article mentions them before in 2018. They were told that Fusion Motor Cars had secured the rights to build officially licensed Eleanor Mustang Fastbacks. Of course, legal issues aren't widely known, and YouTuber B is for Build discovered them the hard way. In a video uploaded the other day, he talked about his project, which involved putting a 1967 Mustang Fastback body onto a chassis of a 2015 Mustang. Now, I was watching the series, and it wasn't just putting a body, laying a body over a chassis. No, what he took was brand new Dynacore body panels and literally modified and fit the 2015 chassis to accept them. If he had to move panels back, he had to move them back. It was an endeavor process, and I got up to the point on the videos where they pretty much got the body panels fitted and the electricals working, and he was getting on to the styling portion of the build, and then the legal troubles, I think, happened. Let's go on with the rest of the article. While the build went great and incorporated some modern features into the old pony car, things quickly went wrong as they wanted the model to look like the Eleanor Mustang. As the YouTuber explained, he found out the Eleanor Mustang is copyrighted and trademarked, and this means you can't replicate its looks without proper authorization. As a result, the videos of the build have been deleted, and he says the car is now property of Gone in 60 Seconds, the corporation. While the YouTuber doesn't elaborate, it appears lawyers got involved and stopped the project. In particular, the title of his announcement clip is "My lawyer made me change the name of this episode so I won't get sued." The lack of details makes it hard to know how things went down, but 5 years ago, Deadline reported on a case of a maker of Batmobile replicas. It pitted builder Mark Towle against DC Comics. The case reached the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and Judge Sandra Ikuta wrote, "The panel held that DC Comics owned the copyright interest in the Batmobile character as expressed in the 1966 TV series and the 1989 motion picture because it did not transfer its underlying rights to the character, which when it licensed the rights to produce derivative works. As a result, Towle's replicas infringed on DC Comics copyrights." Now this sets an ugly precedent, I personally think. I could try to reach out to Chris, but I have a feeling that he cannot say anything because of lawyer talk and lawyer speak. But I'll try to reach out to him, maybe see if he can comment, as well as I'd like to reach out to another YouTuber, automotive builder on YouTube. His channel is name is Video Bob Mosley. If you don't know who Video Bob Mosley is, he produces replicas of cars, such as the Ghostbusters ambulance, the Back to the Future DeLorean, recently the hit Knight Rider Trans Am, just to name a few of the cars. And this brings up a very scary thought. I want to get Bob's input on this. Now, if a company can secure the copyright and trademark rights to their property, hey, that's their IP. I understand it. But what does that say now? Let's say if Shelby America is going to go after everybody who builds a replica or a tribute GT350 or GT500 Mustang, or for that matter, a kit car Cobra. What's to say that they don't hold the same situations there? And what does that mean to the consumer? I'm sure there's a ton of, father-son projects out there that are in the middle in different stages of being built, like this. I remember a few years back, right after Gone in 60 Seconds, all of the car magazines were writing articles about the Gone in 60, Mustang, designed, partly designed and built, or by Chip Foose, for the concept art of it. And I know he was part one of the designers. There was another designer, but I cannot think of his name right now. But they were in those articles. They were listing all of the part numbers of the parts that they used to build the car, from the Chris Allston Chassis Works Toll Control products, the suspension products, to the PIA fog lights. So, what's that say for the aftermarket parts industry if they decide to cooperate, or a production movie production company for their products, and be using a on a car in a project, and then somebody tries to build a replica of a car that was used in a film, and then next thing say, hey, you can't do that. Give us your car, So if you guys are interested, I want to maybe have a Saturday live stream where you guys can call in and leave your concerns, whatnot. So if you want to call into the live stream on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the call-in number will be 805-419-5129. Or if you just want to call and leave your comment or question on the voicemail, go ahead and do it now. Once again, that phone number is 805-419-5129. So be sure to hit that like, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, comment down below on this video on what you think on any of these stories, and till next time, see ya!